There will be a water baptism class that Sunday morning, September 30th at 8:30 a.m. Yeah, that's all. I'm going to introduce Pastor Justin now.
Come on, can we give Mackenzie a hand this morning? There we go. I've got two mics. Be glad you're not my sound guy. Awesome. Well, good morning. It's so good to see you this morning. I'm so glad that you're not camping. Huh? I'm so glad because it's so fun to see you. I'm not camping either, and it's just good to be with God's people. Amen? Well, I am super excited. How many of you, I know we gave her hand, but isn't Mackenzie awesome? I mean, that is just good. It's so great. I mean, I don't know if you can get passionate about doing announcements, but if you can, Mackenzie does. And so that is totally cool. Well, I'm really excited for our service today and just what God wants to do in your heart and in my heart. And we are going to continue just to do things a little bit different. I think summer's a great time to switch it up a little bit. And so I'm super excited this morning that we get to hear from a few different people. And some of you may know these people. Some of you may not know. But we are going to have, our church supports a number of missionaries in South Central America, in Africa. I'm trying to, in my head, think of all the different places that we support, and those are the two that are coming to mind because there's a number in Central America. But our church has been in relationship with these two individuals for some time. Many of you know Earl and Sharon Washburn, who've been our missionaries for a long time to Honduras, and they had started a school many years ago. And I'm not giving you the years because it's part of their presentation, and so I don't want to spoil it. But they have started a school in Honduras, and God has done amazing things. Many of you, how many of you in this room have been to our work that's going on in Honduras? Can I see your hands? If you've been on a building team, on a missions team, right? So a decent amount of people have been there and have witnessed what God has done and what God is doing firsthand. And so we're going to hear from Sharon, who her and her husband Earl, who's not here with us. They are they're still involved with the school, but they're moving to a different type of work. So I'm going to hear from, we're going to hear from Sharon, but then also we have Jason Furrow, who's here this morning, and he and his wife, many of you may say, I don't know Jason, and I've just known Jason for a few years, probably about 4 or 5, and he and his wife have an orphanage that has been started up in the mountains of Honduras, and they are doing super cool things with the kids, but also teaching the locals, and they're farming, and they're doing all sorts of cool things. His farm is probably the only solar-powered farm for sure on that hill, but I would venture to think you're probably one of the few in that whole nation with solar power, and it's just totally cool what God's doing in him. And so we're going to hear from these two this morning. So would you welcome this morning Jason and Sharon as they come to share. Give them a hand this morning.
Maybe. Okay, it's class time. We're teachers here. Education counts. Now, in front of some of you, on the chair in front of you, on the little rack, is a white card, a white index card. I want you to find that white index card, but don't say anything just yet. On that white index card, there's a question. Do y'all have it? There should be 8. 1, 2, 3. And you need to answer that question, and we'll have something for you. Now, we want everyone to be successful, right, since this is school. So you need to be, you are allowed to collaborate with somebody else. And with the hands that went up, I think we're going to have success.
If there's not one under your seat, guys, you can look around. I know there's one back in this area, a couple. There's one here in the middle. If there's not one under your seat, maybe look around the seats around you. You'll find one.
Did you find it, Ruth? Okay. You find it over here? The little. Okay, you got it. All right. Now. All right, we have question number 1 is probably over there somewhere, and probably 2, and like 3 and 4, 5 and 6, 7 and 8. Okay, you ready? Who's got question 1? there? Oh, we mixed them up. All right. Now, everybody at the same time, get the answer. I mean, find your answer right away, and then I'll call on the questions. If you don't know the answer, look for somebody who does. You saw the hands go up, right? Go, 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 go. Find the answer if you don't know it. Oh, there's eight different questions. There's eight different questions. You've already given away some of the answers. All right, buddy. You did. So look for help. Look for help if you don't know the answer. Do you know the answer? Dr. Yancey? Well, who can help you? Who? Lori, can you help him? Karen, you have five, okay. Oh, you passed it on? Do you still have the question? Oh, okay, all righty. Question number one, okay, who's got it? All right, what's your question? Okay, what's the name of the ministry that he represents? Give Hope to Kids. Question number two. Question number two, who's got it? All right, Miss Tilly.
What is the name of Jason's wife?
What?
Sarah?
Right, that's right.
What is it? Sarah.
Got a muffin for
okay,
you here.
Got it. Question number three.
But you guys might pass that down.
Who's got number three, okay? Aha, be careful now. Spell the name of Jason's ministry. Okay. Did you get help from somebody? See, look at her finger. Her finger's moving. She's. All right,
nice.
He's got.
Score. Good job.
But you collaborated. All righty. Number four. Are we four? Uh-huh. And yeah, we got it. All right. All right.
That's good. We'll give it to her. We'll
number
give it to
six.
Her. We'll give it to her. There you go.
Next question. Six? Five? Six? Where are we? Six? Five. Okay, Karen.
Where is Honduras?
In Washington State, yeah.
It's in Central America. Nicaragua being its neighbor.
Good job.
Nice.
All right. She's a teacher, yeah.
Okay.
Seven? Six. Oh, and you've got Joyce over there. You've got people over there who know the answers. Come on, let's go. Yes.
So how many years have Earl and Sharon been serving
Honduras? This is a good one.
So we've got anywhere from 16 to 20.
Uh-huh. Are you good at math?
Yes.
Add 10 to it. Add 10 to your 20.
30.
There you go. And I'm still alive, yes. One more question. We have another one.
Why are the widows and orphans important to God?
That's
a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not. Loves them. They need help. They're kind of helpless in some ways, right? He loves them special.
I'll get it.
There's one more. I think it's a seven. Why is education important? Anybody? Why is education important? Anybody? Maybe they didn't find the paper. Okay. What? Yes. Because I already ate one. Why is education important? Because, Miss Joyce. You gain knowledge. They can be world changers. They can have, they have options, right? Yeah, okay. Education's important because it gives you options to move out of poverty. Okay. Now we have how many left, Jason?
Three more and then the bonus round.
The bonus round. Ooh, okay. Let's just move to the bonus round.
Sounds good.
All right. On this one, you're all doing, you can all think of something. I want you to think of something that relates to Jason or me or Dr. Pacheco that was here for three Sundays. Think of something. Yes, ma'am. Children.
All right. Pound of coffee that we grow on our farm.
All right, yeah, another bonus. I mean, another comment, commentary, thing that you think is important.
That was a firsthand.
School.
That was a firsthand.
But that was Ruth. Ruth, you already got something, didn't you? All right.
There's one back there.
She's an overachiever.
Hand over here. There's a hand back there.
Okay, what do we have back there? She's
score.
Good.
Score. There you go. Yeah.
Are you hungry? Any more? I have three more. Fast, fast.
Somebody over there.
Yeah.
Over there.
Okay, you ready?
Oh. Okay. Miss Sharon just beamed someone in the head. Okay, anybody else? What's your favorite memory from a trip where you've been to Honduras? What's your favorite memory that you guys could share? Yeah.
When I cut my foot on the rock.
That's painful. Pain. You left blood, sweat, and tears in Honduras. Yeah, bro. Ooh. I'll give you a bag of coffee. Just remind me later. Okay, that's try to see if we can erase that traumatic memory there in your mind. You good, Miss Sharon? All right, thanks. Guys, thanks for playing along with that. That's fun just for us to remember some of those things and talk about that. I want to take just a couple minutes. Miss Sharon's going to share in a few minutes here. I want to just take a couple minutes and introduce our ministry to you guys. If any of you have your Bible, I just want to give you one of the verses for us that kind of defines the ministry that we do. And it's found in Psalm 68. We're going to start in verse 5 and just read verse 5 and 6. This verse kind of defines what Sarah and I want to do. Unfortunately, our kids couldn't be here today. They're in New Jersey with my little sister. And so yesterday I flew from New Jersey coast to coast, and I get to be back with them on Tuesday night. So just here kind of zipping through. But this verse in Psalm 68, starting in 5, kind of defines what Sarah and I feel like God is calling us to do in Honduras. And it says this. It says, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling." In verse 6, the first part here is, I think, for us, like the key. It says, God sets the lonely in families. God sets the lonely in families. And for us, ever since I was a 15-year-old kid, I felt called to start some kind of a ministry that would be a home for orphaned and abandoned kids. And it started for me, it was in a children's home in Guatemala that took care of hundreds and hundreds of kids. And we were there for 2 weeks. And during that time, God was just working in my heart through being with those kids. And I always remember as a 15-year-old kid, I was trying to be tough. We were doing construction work. But as we pulled away that day, I was just bawling. I was literally, my heart was broken. And as we pulled out that day, I'll never forget, I felt like that was the time, the specific moment when God kind of gave me a calling to do this in the years to come. And so right now, many, many years later, I said I just turned 42 a couple days ago, many, many years later, here we are, and now we've taken care of a total of 51 children in family-style homes. So our ministry is maybe not what you would think of when you think about a traditional children's home. I don't know if you guys have this image in your head, but for me, normally that means this big old building, a massive building, kids stacked up to the roof. And for us, we feel our calling is to give those kids a family, not just a roof over their heads, but to actually place them inside of a family. So our model of ministry is kind of unique. I don't know if we could put one of the slides up, if you wouldn't mind. We'll go through one of the kids. So these are some of our kiddos. They're sitting on the swing there, one of the swings on the playground. And I want to share with you guys, too, how our lives in ministry intersect with Mr. Earl and Miss Sharon. If you'll go on to the next slide, if you would, please. The oldest here in the pink shirt is named Ruby. And Sarah and I, as we were starting to starting the ministry, we met Earl and Sharon just a few years before that, and we really felt like God led us through the wisdom of another missionary friend to invest a few years of our lives working with someone else and serving alongside someone else. And I'm so grateful that the person that God led us to, the people, were Earl and Sharon. So for us, Sarah and I say that Earl and Sharon are like our Honduran mom and dad, is basically what we call them, and they're our mentors. I want to make sure to embarrass Miss Sharon during this meeting today. If I can, I want to make sure to just embarrass her a little bit. But in 2006, Sarah and I were married, and within 3 weeks, we were serving at the school with Earl and Sharon. And the little girl in the middle's name is Ruby. And Ruby was an 11-year-old, almost 12-year-old little girl. And she went to the school office one day to ask for an aspirin because she had a headache. And she went to the principal and said, I've had a headache and a stomach ache for a long time. And the principal, because of where we live in this valley, the principal said, did you have your breakfast today? And Ruby said, no. And the principal said, when was the last time you ate? Did you eat last night? And Ruby said, no. Did you eat lunch the day before? No. At the end of this, it turns out that Ruby and her sisters, they were 6 girls. She was the oldest, little Abby right now, which is about this tall, was only 2 years old at that point. They were actually living on their own. It was 6 little girls living on their own in a little mud thatched hut. And so we were serving alongside Earl and Sharon, but we felt like that was the first time that God opened that door for us and said, okay, it's go time. You know, you've been preparing for 25 years. You know, this is your shot. This is your chance. And this is the kids. These are the kids that we want you to start helping. So God started actually the work of Give Hope to Kids through the ministry of Instituto El Rey. And so that little girl right now, Ruby, she's always been a beanpole. She's still a beanpole. But she has a son of her own right now called Jacito, little Jason. They named him after us, which is a huge honor. And there you go. Thank you. And so actually, Ruby right now is actually a house mom and taking care of 8 other kids. So she raises her 2 youngest sisters still. The one on the left is actually going to university, and this is going to tie in to Earl and Sharon and the kind of the future of where Give Hope to Kids is going. But the one on the left there is Griselle, and she's a senior right now at the high school. So now 2 of those girls, and on the right is Aureli. Both of those girls are actually married to amazing, godly men who are now raising other kids as a mom and dad with those kids. And so for us, that represents like the fruit. If you see like the generation of kids, and I tell you guys, normally when little girls live on their own in Honduras without anyone to protect them and watch out for them, normally it sends their life down a trajectory that you can imagine. It takes them and puts them in an incredibly vulnerable place. We never thought we'd break our record with Ruby and those girls, 6 sisters. Like, what's the chances we'd ever take in a bigger sibling group? 2 years ago, we took in a group of 7 sisters, all girls, all living on their own. Excuse me. So if you'll go ahead and go to the next slide here. So this is the place Pastor Justin's talking about. We purchased a farm in Honduras. We live out in the boonies, I don't even think does it justice. Like, we're at the end, literally, of a 25-mile-long dirt road, at the end where the buses turn around to come back. But it's turned out to be this incredible place where we can raise kids in a safe environment. If you guys have ever read news about Honduras, Honduras still, we're in the top like 3 or 4 for the most dangerous places in the world. So to be able to take kids that grow up in these urban areas or in dangerous places and raise them on this little farm, this place is more like Mayberry, maybe more, a little more like Maple Valley, kind of that feel. But just a safe place where we can raise them in a safe place and take care of them. You go to the next slide if you would. So here's our deal. Our ministry is for abused and abandoned kids, and we place the kids in an existing family with godly house parents. So for us, the fact that the kids are actually being raised as a family, you know, when the 7 girls come together, instead of getting dispersed and 2 girls are here, 2 girls are here, 2 girls are here, we feel like it's so important for those girls to be raised as a family and by a family. And so we're just getting now to the point where the kids are old enough where they're doing chores. They're just doing normal kid stuff. Like, there's dishes there. You're part of this family. Those are all you, you know? So we're just getting to the point where we're involving the kids. And so many of these kids have started to call these house parents mom and dad. And it's super cool to watch that. Some kids will be 5 years Before they say tío or tía, like aunt and uncle, and then after a while they transition and they end up with mom and dad. And you can see where all that attachment disorder problems, all those attachment disorders, God is like healing that through that process. Let's go on to the next one if you don't mind. So this year we finished our fourth house. Let me tell you the story of this little guy, little Daniel. There, little, the guy with the big cheeks and curly hair. He was born to an 11-year-old mom who was a victim of abuse. And it was just an incredibly tough situation. Her stepfather was a crack addict. And whenever he would basically get high, that would end up in her being abused. And so this little baby boy, but I'll tell you what, this little baby boy is being raised by Areli, one of Ruby's sisters. So the little girl that knew what it was like to feel alone and who knew what it was like to feel like no one watched out for her, that little kiddo is being raised by that mom. And so that's a generation of orphan kids raising the next generation, but in a home. So anyway, Barry is the youngest. The one in the middle there, she's the youngest of those seven sisters. So she's just a super cute little girl. Let's go on to the next one, if you don't mind. So for us, the thing that we're moving into with the kids is trades now. A lot of our kids that we took in maybe when they were 3 or 4, now those kids are like 11, 12. They're getting older, and they're getting to the point where we need to start thinking about them becoming independent as they're adults. And so we're starting to work on trade schools. We've started a wood shop right now. We've got a planer and a lot of those tools. We're working on teaching them mechanical work. And then some of these kids, Griselle's headed in November. She'll be headed to university. So let's go on to the next one. So many of you guys that raised your hands that have come down as part of GL, these are the outreach ministries that we do. We do this every Friday night for like, in November it'll be 8 years we've done this, every Friday night. And we reach normally about 100 kids. About half of those come from our place. Most of the rest of them come from places they don't attend any other church. That is like their main church. So God's helping us right now start discipleship groups in a couple different villages. And one of the really neat things that's happening right now, Ms. Sharon can talk to you about this if you ever have a question. Church culture in our valley is incredibly legalistic. And for the most part, you don't see any young people in churches, almost exclusively. But we started to connect with a couple young guys that feel led to be in ministry and work in ministry. And now we're giving some of them scholarships to go to a theological education by distance. So they go once a month. And some of them are plugging into their churches wherever. They don't have to go to our thing or be involved in our thing. But we want to get them training so they can go out and make a difference in our valley. So we've got 3 kids right now, 3 young guys that we're doing that. We're giving scholarships to. And one of them right now is a leader of this ministry. And we're just seeing incredible results. Let's go on to the next one, if you don't mind. This is a great picture. That's actually Griselle, who's doing the milking. She's going to be studying to be an agricultural engineer. So those of you guys that have visited, you've seen this, but we raise animals actually to feed the kids. So right now I think we have 52 head of cattle. We got about 20 pigs. We've got laying hens. Pastor Justin was talking about solar power. So God's really blessed us to be self-sustaining as a ministry. I'll tell you what, we're up to right now over 60 people that live up there. So you want to talk about like food and like, it is crazy. Every time I get our grocery bill, if I like unfold it, it comes up to about like, it's almost as long as I am tall. So it's like all these projects here help us actually be able to do this and take care of the kids. Let's go on to the next one. So just to share with you kind of like where the future is for Give Hope to Kids, as Griselle gets ready to go to university, because we live so far out in the sticks, we have no way to let those guys go to university. So right now we're in the process of starting a second campus. We're getting calls normally twice a month, sometimes more than that, to take in new kids. And because we're limited on our space, we have no means to do that right now. So we're in the process of starting a second campus to start more family-style homes. And then also that's where our university kids will be staying. And it's really, really special for us. One of the things that's most special, I think if you go to the next slide, if you don't mind, I think, yeah. So on the bottom left-hand side, this is actually the home where those university kids will go as they're launching out into life. And we have no idea what direction God's calling some of those guys. Griselle wants to be an agriculture engineer. We have some kids that want to be vets, and we don't know exactly what they're going to do. But we do know that this home will be a place where we use as like an incubator for them as they like launch out on their own. And one of the coolest things about this whole new part of the ministry is that Earl and Sharon have agreed to come and partner with us to be the house parents that work with these university age kids. So that's incredibly meaningful to us just to be with them, just to get to work with them and partner with them. But it's also cool for us to see God doing that relationships and the family thing. You know, Earl and Sharon came into our life personally, into my life. My dad had been a pastor for many, many years, for 42 years. And he was at a place where he felt God had called him to start the school. And they had purchased the property, and then my dad actually resigned from that church and moved on. And it looked like that ministry was totally going to fall apart. It looked like the high school wasn't going to happen at all. It literally did. The first buildings were up, the blocks were up, but there was no one there. And then my dad wasn't there at all as kind of a pastor to work with it. And he got a call from this couple in Maple Valley, Washington, that felt like God was leading them into ministry in a high school full time. And so at that time where that dream looked like it was totally shot, God was calling Earl and Sharon to step into that place. And obviously that ministry has just flourished. So I guess, I don't know, if you guys have any questions, we'll be around a little bit afterwards. But I guess what I want to say too, I just felt like I wanted to encourage somebody with this today. I have no idea if there's anybody that you feel that way. But the ministry of the school honestly looked like it was done. It looked like it was going nowhere. But in the background, God was working, and God had someone that was going to do that. And I feel like sometimes that happens in our lives. You guys, we have dreams, things that God's put in our hearts years back, and we kind of give up on it a little bit. You know, maybe sometimes we want to have faith, but it's easy just to like, well, that was a neat thought. You know, that would have been cool, wouldn't it, if that would have happened? And I think so many times, I'm reminded of how Paul talks to Timothy and said, it's time for you to like stir up the gifts that God's given you. It's time to fan. I love the imagery that he uses. It's time for you to fan the flame of what God's doing in your life. So I just want to encourage you guys, if you have had something like that God's placed in your heart, in your mind as a vision, don't give up on that thing. God may have someone from way across the other side of the world that he's working on, and he's going to bring them into your life to do that. So, Ms. Sharon, we love you and we appreciate you. I didn't embarrass you near as much as I wanted to, but thanks you guys for letting us share. It was good to get to share with you today.
So the teacher comes out in me again. And back on the table, we have Give Hope to Kids papers. We have Give Hope to Kids papers. I have 12 ways to pray for children. Please. I have something about Earl and I, what we do. Then we have something about Dr. Melvin Pacheco that was here and what he is doing in the valley. Your assignment is to take these papers, please. Read them. Pray for, not the papers, but for the individuals. And as you pray for the individuals, what do I pray for? Well, what do you pray for yourself? And triple that, please. Triple that. Because days are days, and we never know what's happening on the other end and what's going to come through the door. And so pray. You know Jason now more, and you can pray for him and the new expansion in the ministry that's happening that he asked us to be part of. And quite frankly, we were ready to come home. We were ready to come back. Our driver's license, you know, no big deal, but down there it's a big deal, expired, and our residency card expired. And we thought, okay, this would be a time to come back. Earl is 80, Sharon's somewhere, and we just keep moving. And so Jason comes with this crazy idea to be house parents, which we already do in Lasay, but we're house parents to kids from IER that come down to go to school, or we get them from La Mosquita where we first started. That's why we get the 30 years, because we started way out there establishing schools. So we do that, and we homeschool 3 kids at the same time, and then this paper shows how I go out to the public schools with units and things. I try to go one time a week at least, and to bring our little library or do something to present Jesus in the public schools. And I have an open door with the Department of Education to do just about what I want to do. I have the name recognition and the quality recognition of IR, because there's no other school like that around. And I determined that when I went there, if we're going to do a school, it's going to be different. Otherwise, why bother? So it's a different school, praise the Lord, and the kids are learning, and they win in competitions, and it continues with David and Cindy Sharpless, and we just move on. That seems like what we do. We start something, turn it over to somebody, move on. So this kid, Jason, said, hey, you know, would you do this? Think about doing that. So I thought, well, you know, let's see here. So we prayed. It took us 6 months before we came back and said something to him. We were leaning towards it, and I asked Jason lots of questions, didn't I? And he said, well, you can just relax. You just go out there. And, yeah, I've already met the principal of the school across the street, and I think it's just going to be another go-around. But someone here, when Earl was here last year, someone was praying for Earl. And they said, I see Earl standing in front of a house that's being built, the lower left-hand corner. And that was our clincher. So Earl called me that day and said, I'm telling Jason. I said, go right ahead, tell him. So we gave a yes, we're going to do that. And that will be a little different, but it'll be the same thing that we've always been doing. But I would like to say something about what Jason has said very quickly to tell you that your life is going to end. We don't live forever as far as we know. When I was a young girl, I thought 40, you had to be dead by the time you were 40. I thought that was it. And now I know when I'm 40, I was 40, I just began to live. I got a little smarts, and now I think I'm really smart when I'm whatever age I am. And so I tell you, not, you've got one life to live. And so I'm looking ahead, and I'm saying, God, what's next? What's next? What is next? And so God has chosen to speak through to Earl with a voice that you can hear. He chose to speak to me through dreams. He chose to speak to Earl again through prayer. Don't shut any avenue out that God may want to speak to you in your old age. Still, move it, keep moving. Think of ways, and he will tell you how you can encourage people, what you can do to help people. Just don't give up. Don't give up, and you may be the one that's just on your knees praying three times power for these people who hang around and keep making a difference in kids' lives. And it was so great for Melvin to come and share with you. He's like one of our kids, and what he's now gone back to the valley. He could try to get a job somewhere else and make some money, but he's going back to the valley to minister 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to the people where he grew up. And that's so key, so important that he's back there. And that's, we can see, somebody said we'll never see the fruit of the school, the ministry of the school, and God's allowed that to happen, that we see ministry all the way down of things that are happening, things that kids are doing. It's just great. Justin?
Oh, you got your own?
Awesome. Man, anyone else want to jump on an airplane? Awesome. Man, thank you both for sharing. And again, they're going to be in the back afterwards. They'd love to talk to you and just to see how we can continue to invest in what God's doing, not only in our nation, but in Honduras and the other nations of the world. Man, and I look at I didn't realize, Sharon, it was that long. You know, in my head, I was talking to them earlier, but how many years has it been with the school? And I think I visited Honduras twice, and the first time was the very first graduation that we had, and it was probably that was great, and it was probably, 08, I believe it was. 06, look at that, so I'm kind of close, and just to see what God has done in and through them, and just to hear the fruit of what God has done through their ministry, and I just, at this time, just want to say thank you to this church. Because this is one example that we could say where we've invested in years and years, and there's many more. And just to encourage us this morning that there is fruit. And I want to encourage you, and I love the encouragement that came, Jason and Sharon, but to each of us today that maybe when I said, hey, you want to jump on an airplane, and you, if those of you that said, not really, I want to encourage you today to be encouraged with the fruit that is growing in and through your life. Because it's not just in Honduras. It's not just in Africa. I think of this week, many of our sons and daughters are going back to school. I think of the marriage that you're in. I think of the kids that you're raising. And I want to encourage you with the field that God has called you to tend.
Many of you have a business, and God's called your business to do great things for his kingdom. And I want to encourage you with that today. And I want to say that anything that is done in the name of the Lord is a worthwhile investment. Anything that is done in the name of the Lord is a worthwhile investment. And I think we need to get that in our spirits this morning, because there's times that I can see fruit produced out of my life. There's times I can see fruit that's being produced in my kids' lives. But how many of you know that's not all the time? But I want to encourage you this morning that anything that is done in the name of the Lord is a worthwhile investment. And so as you are raising your kids, it is worth it. As you are sowing good seeds into your marriage, it is worth it. Anything that is done in the name of the Lord is a worthwhile investment. Okay, some of you may say it this way: God's word does not return empty. God's word does not return void. Okay, can you just say that? Say this. Say, God's word does not return empty. Okay, God's word does not return empty. Okay, I want to read Isaiah 55, and it says this, and I do not have this one on the PowerPoint. I have the next one, but it says this. It says, the way you work, and this is God speaking, the way you work isn't the way that I work. It's God's decree. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think, this is God, is beyond the way you think. Just as rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for the farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work that I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. I want to encourage you this morning that the work that God has sent you to do will produce results in its due time. It will produce results in its due time. Okay, God's ways are higher than your ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God works harder than you work. Okay, God works harder than you work. God works differently than you work. We can trust him with his work. Amen? I look at the different things that Sharon, I want to say Earl and Sharon and Jason shared about Melvin, about the school, about the orphans. And you know, there's times in talking to them that I'm sure they couldn't see the fruit in Melvin's life. They couldn't see the fruit in the orphan's life. All they saw was the circumstance. All they saw was the destruction. All Jason probably saw was 7 more mouths to feed. How are we going to do that? How are we going to provide for another family? How are we going to take on more kids? I don't see the fruit. All I feel is I'm tired. All I feel is it's an uphill battle. I want to encourage you this morning that God's ways are higher than your ways, that God's thoughts are differently than your thoughts. Amen? You see, there's times in my life that I see the results, that I can look at my kids and I can be like, oh yeah, I'm like the best parent in the world. Because my kids, the fruit of their life looks like fantastic. People are like, how do you do it? And then there's the usual. Except for my son Daniel, of course, who's here this morning. Right? He's always got good fruit, right? 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 But then there's the normal days. Where I don't know what kind of kids we're producing. Okay, where we look at my wife and I look at each other and we just say, we're just going to pray a lot, right? There's those days. You know, there's times in my marriage that it's like, man, people can say, man, you got a godly marriage. And then there's the other times where they would say, Okay? Right? But there's those seasons in life where you can see the fruit, and then there's the seasons in life where you're going, I think we're farming. I think we're planting. I think we're supposed to be in the fruit growing business, but it doesn't look like it. I want to encourage you this morning to keep sowing the seed, to keep planting, to keep tilling. Today, I want to encourage you with four little words. Lift up your eyes. Okay, lift up your eyes. I don't know what your circumstance looks like right now. I don't know what your marriage, I don't know what your kids are looking like right now, but I want to encourage you to lift up your eyes. Okay, in John chapter 4, verse 35, this is Jesus, and he's speaking to his disciples, as he did a lot, and he's talking to them, and I'll bring a little context. I wasn't planning on preaching very long today, and I'm still not, but it says this. It says, Jesus said, "Do you not say there are 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you this, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." Okay, so we got to understand a few things. Number one, the 4 months he's talking about is when you planted a seed, it took about 4 months for that seed to produce the harvest. Okay, so in everyone's mind in that day, they knew you till the ground or whatever you do, you plow it, you till it, you plant the seed, and 4 months later, you're going to get fruit. You're going to get the harvest. And so Jesus, he knows what the cultural norm is. Okay, Jesus, yeah, he was a carpenter, but I'm sure he knew a little bit about farming as well. He knew you plant something and it just doesn't show up the next day, right? It takes 4 months. And he says, don't you say this? He's saying, hey, isn't this true? Don't you say there's 4 months? Yeah? And Jesus is going against everything in their heads that they know, because Jesus isn't talking about physical fruit here. Okay? He's not talking about carrots or wheat or whatever their crop is. He's talking about spiritual things. But the principle is Jesus is saying, I know you think it's supposed to work this way. You plant it and 4 months later, but open up your eyes, lift up your head, because it's time to harvest. Okay, and I want to encourage us with that this morning, because Jesus was seeing things that they weren't seeing. And it's not that Jesus was seeing things that they couldn't see, right? They could see it if they were to lift up their head. Because if you look at John chapter 4, I read verse 35, but if you go on earlier in John chapter 4, Jesus, he ministers. You remember the story where he ministered to the Samaritan woman? Remember that story where he met the woman at the well? Jesus crossed all sorts of cultural boundaries to reach the heart of a broken woman. He did what his law said he shouldn't do. Why? Because the field was ripe for harvest. Yeah, the law said you can't talk to the Samaritan. Yeah, the law said you probably shouldn't even talk to that woman because she's an adulterer. But the law of the harvest said the fruit is ripe. And so Jesus didn't allow the physical laws to limit the harvest. Okay, Jesus defied some things and he proved some things. Because again, Jesus did what they did not. Jesus could lift up his head and he could see what they couldn't see. And I want to encourage you with your life today to lift up your eyes. Okay, lift up your eyes. Because looking at your circumstances today, they will never be ideal. Right? Have you ever done that like I've done? I've said, God, I'll give you my whole heart when. Well, guess what? When never comes. Right? When never comes. God, I will serve you when I have my bank account looks better. Well, guess what? Your bank account might not ever look better. I hope it does, and I'll pray that it does. But again, your circumstances may never seem ideal. Listen, some of you parents looking at your kids, and I love this because we have, you think about raising kids, and you have the terrible twos, you have the infant stage, and I'll never forget the infant stage with our kids. Because that was probably, it was a tiring time. And if you're in that time where you have infants, God bless you in your nighttime sleep. God bless you because it's exhausting. But I want to just share something. Once they start moving, you're not only still not sleeping, but now you can't have anything nice in your house. And anything nice that you had in your house has already been broken because your kids already broke it, right? You get past the terrible twos, and then you have the three-year-old, and people say, oh, he didn't go through the terrible twos. He's just doing it when he's three. Okay. And then, you have the season life where we're in, where we, in our minds, we go, man, well, once our kids are a little bit older, they'll be able to help out a little bit more. And guess what happens when they get a little bit older? Because, now they're preteen, and, preteens are going through a lot of things in their body, and so they don't want to do anything. Okay, well, we'll just wait until they're teenagers. And I don't believe it, but all the horror stories I hear, you think it's hard now, you wait till they're teenagers. Listen, there is no natural ideal season when it comes to seeing fruit in your kids' lives. So if you're waiting, parents, for the ideal season, I hope you're patient. Oh, well, when they're 18, when they're out of the house. Well, when they're out of the house, you might not ever see them very much. Right, so when? Well, when they're taking care of me. Well, okay. Good luck, right? But looking at your kids, there is never a perfect time for fruit to grow. There's never a perfect time. Listen, in my marriage, when my marriage is better, when I feel closer to God, listen, there will always be an issue in my marriage that needs to be resolved. Why? Because my wife is not perfect. She's pretty darn close. And I am definitely not perfect. So there is always going to be issues in marriage that need to be worked through. But God wants to see fruit in the middle of your mess. God wants to see fruit in the middle of your process. Because a lot of times, all we can see is the mess. All I can see is how my kids need to do better, or how I need to do better, or how my wife needs to change. All I can see is the circumstance, and the word of the Lord to us is lift up your eyes. Because the disciples were seeing the same thing that Jesus saw in John chapter 4. But they didn't see it. Why? Because they were focused on what was right in front of them. They only could see what was right in front of them. And the Lord said, would you open your eyes? Because harvest is ripe. Listen, looking at our world, not talking the four walls. I'm talking what you read on the news, what you see on the news, what you see in your coworkers, what you see in your neighbors. Looking at our world, it will always look like it's not ready. It will always look rough. Lift up your eyes because the harvest is ripe. Okay, lift up your eyes because the harvest is ripe. So your circumstances, they'll never seem ideal, right? We talked about kids. We talked about your marriage. We talked about our world. Listen, 30 years ago, Honduras seemed like a crazy idea. Jason, 5 years ago, or whenever it was, you talked about the school, and it just looked like nothing. Harvest, people probably said, man, this field's dead. This land is, It's not even worth it anymore. It is beyond repair. Come on, I believe there's situations and I believe there's circumstances in each of our lives this morning that people would say, just give up hope in that area now. It's beyond repair. The dream that God has put in your heart, looking at the natural, it's like, man, I guess that was a crazy idea or a crazy dream. Listen, so did the orphanage. And now look at the fruit. Listen, I think back in my life at the times that I could say, man, I don't know, God, what you're doing. At the time, time to hang them up, try something different. No. Would you lift up your eyes? Because the harvest is ripe. Because I know this about me. I'm not saying this about you. Is I can always put off and come up with reasons why harvest has to wait. Oh, when my son is older. Oh, when my coworkers are more desperate. Oh, when my wife is really come to the end of herself and really realizes she needs to listen to me. Oh, when I have this or when I have that, when I have more money, I can always put off while harvest has to wait. But the word of the Lord is lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. I want to encourage us this morning. For the next month, we're going to be talking about the title of our series is going to be called Anticipate. Okay, and I think of anticipate, and my brain goes to sports because that's how God's wired me. But we talk about anticipation, right, in a good way, that you are expecting, that you are anticipating, you are looking forward to. And I want to encourage you this morning with whatever's going on in your life. I believe we're entering a season where the Lord would say, lift up your eyes and anticipate, because fruit is growing if you would just open your eyes and see it. And I believe for many of us, when you get your eyes off of your circumstance, when you get your eyes on the fruit, you're going to start seeing the fruit. When you get your eyes off your circumstance, you're going to be able to see everything else. And there's an anticipation that the Lord wants to do to his kingdom, because we can talk about Honduras, we can talk about Africa, but I want to tell you something, that God is doing things right now in Maple Valley. God is doing things right now in South King County. And it doesn't look like it because it doesn't feel like it. But I want to encourage you, with anything that is done in the name of the Lord is a worthwhile investment. Lift up your eyes. Amen? Lift up your eyes. Worship team, can you come? Lift up your eyes. Will you see that the harvest is ripe? Will you believe that the harvest is ripe? Listen, it's not a feeling, it's not an emotion, but it's a mindset. It's a mindset, because I've been guilty, and I just want to pray over us as the worship team plays. I've been guilty in my own personal life of only looking at the circumstance. And 9 times out of 10, when I do that, and my eyes are focused on the circumstance, I can't even see the harvest, because I'm not focused on the harvest. I can't see the fruit because all I'm seeing is the circumstance. And there's something that happens inside of you that you just got to do as the Lord said and lift up your eyes, because it's ripe. And so would you stand with me this morning? You guys can play. But I just want to pray over us, and even I want to pray over Honduras, and even this year as we're starting fall, right, we're talking about back to church Sundays and all those types of things. I don't even know all what that means, right? Because we've all been here. But I want to encourage you with this next season. Would you go into it with your head high? Would you go into it expecting that God is going to do a miracle in your marriage? Come on, can you go into it knowing that God is going to do a miracle in your kids? Can you go into it this morning expecting that God is going to produce fruit in your workplace? That God is going to use you out in the marketplace, that God is going to use you out in the community, because the harvest is ripe. Will we lift up our eyes? So, Father, right now, God, we just come to you. God, I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. God, I thank you for the things that we can see this morning. But, Father, I thank you for the things that we can't see this morning. Father, I thank you, God, that even though we might not see it in every area of our life, Father, that your kingdom is moving and your kingdom is advancing. And Father, I just pray for every person this morning, Father, that we, that generational hope, Father, that we would lift up our eyes to see that the harvest is ripe. God, and whatever harvest means for each person, it might be souls, it might be relationally, it might be financially, it might be in their relationship with you. But Father, that there is things that you want to do through our lives, and now is the time. Father, that there would even be an expectation that arises in our hearts. Father, I thank you for Sharon and for Jason. And Father, it's so fun to celebrate the great fruit and the great things that you're doing. And Father, we continue to just to bless those two ministries in Honduras. God, thank you for them. And Father, I just pray even today, Father, there would just be just a pricking by your Spirit. Father, that in a moment's notice, everything can change in our lives. Because God, you say that now is the time. That now is the time. Father, that now is the time for the harvest to be realized. Amen. Come on, can you say that? Say, now is the time. Lift up your eyes. Come on, say it. Lift up your eyes. Now is the time. Come on, I believe we're entering a great season where we're going to see great things as a church, but individually. Amen? Amen. Can we just sing this chorus, Galadriel? And then we'll dismiss this morning. Let's sing.
Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name.
Sing Jesus.
Lifted high, expecting God to do great things, because the harvest is ripe. Amen.
I have a benediction. benediction to read to you. May God bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in the world so that we can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and the poor. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Come on, let's go out of here. In his name today, you're released.